Every night our lives stood still. Same conversation, a different meal. At the time, all I thought we were making was dirty dishes.
Hey guys, I'm Connor Steven.
I'm Bobby Martin.
I'm Taylor Abram.
I'm James Barker, and we are hanging out with Donald on Nashville Hits Collecting Dust.
Yes, what's up, guys? This is the James Barker Band. Excited. Fun fact, just learned that I have the band from Canada that actually broke Shania Twain's record for the single, the debuting single. Like, y'all kind of crushed that record as the number one song in Canada for a debuting single.
Yeah,
is that right?
The highest charting Canadian country song. I think highest charting debut, yeah, Canadian.
It's harder than it looks, isn't it? That's like a mouthful right there, but that's actually really cool. For two reasons. Who did not have a crush on Shania Twain?
Wait, who did not? I did.
Oh, wait, yeah. If you did not get out of my house right now.
That didn't even make sense to me.
She is TRL to the nth degree. Like, when that was on.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys watch TRL, Total Request Live. Like, she was always on it, and I would be like weirded out when my mom would walk in and it's on TV. Like, I guess I should change.
That was my Nelly. That was my Nelly Furtado.
Really?
100%.
Good friend of mine, Christina's in the house. Is that like Justin Timberlake for you? It's JT. Let's be honest. I'm gonna be honest. I got a man crush on him too. So whatever.
like NSYNC days or when? No, went
Senorita. Solo. Senorita days. It's a good song.
I got to meet the Backstreet Boys the other day for the first time, and that was surreal.
Whoa, really?
Very surreal.
How does that happen?
Well,
he's around.
How does that happen? Y'all don't know who I am. Jeez. I'm just, like I said, I'm friends with a lot of really kind of, I mean, just killing it artists. Florida Georgia Line was playing here at Bridgestone. Yeah. And I'm friends with those guys and got to kind of be back there and hang out while they're, I mean, it's just a surreal, anyway, they had the special guest show up that nobody really knew about. Yeah. So I'm back there, we're hanging out. And it's funny because I think everybody out in the audience thinks that like backstage is one way. I know I did. When I was out in the audience, I'm like, it is nothing but one big party back there. Like, yeah, you're just, you got this imagination of what the backstage is of a Florida Georgia Line. And really it's like crickets. It's like, all right. Nothing. I mean, it's on, cool. Yeah. Well, because they're relaxing, you know, they're doing their thing. So we're out on the bus and kind of hanging out or whatever. But this guy walks up, blonde-headed guy. He had a black leather jacket on. It's not like he got announced or anything. And I'm like, hey, what's up, dude? And we're just kind of talking. And a couple minutes go into it. And then he kind of walks, all right, man, we'll see you later. And I look around and I go, that was Nick Carter.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, I'm kind of glad I'm just realizing that right now. Yeah, just, you know, yeah, exactly. But it was just kind of that surreal moment, you know, of just, but it was kind of cool. So
no doubt. That's awesome.
Yeah. Excited to have you guys in, though. If y'all break, like, my growing up crushes single debut, that's another kind of one of those surreal moments. So yeah. James Barker Band, cool. Hey, just in case y'all don't know, we are recording, so anything that you say can and will be used against you.
Nothing we haven't already been charged with.
Awesome. Well, hey, let's get started then. Hey, guys, it's Nashville Hits Collecting Dust. Donald Jenkins, thanks for tuning in. Got to treat this episode because, well, listen, I knew we were getting big, Chewy, but this... This band traveled from out of the country just to be here this morning, so I appreciate y'all.
That's true or not, does not matter.
No. Yeah, if I say it, it's true, right?
Halfway across the continent.
Yeah, coming from the, the country of Canada, right? Now, I know I am geographically challenged, so when
north,
you say...
North.
Right. And here's, I'm going to apologize in advance for my lack of culture, but when I think of Canada, I'm sorry, I think of like Alaska and one big block of ice.
Oh,
and
you're totally right. You're totally right.
Yeah, it's pretty much it. Dog sleds and igloos and stuff.
Okay. No, all right.
Two dog garage.
So I've got the right picture.
Two dog garage. That's a great band name.
I love it. Well, hey, let's introduce you guys. How's that? I am with the James Barker Band. Like I said, from Canada, and we'll start here. We'll just call it one all the way down to four, but tell us, like, who are you, and we'll introduce yourself.
Sounds good. I'm James Barker.
That's actually the name of the band.
That's actually the name of the band, surprisingly.
Wow.
And this is
that's
band.
The guy. No. And this is the band.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, I guess I'm lead singer and lead guitar.
Nice.
Next.
I'm Taylor Abram. I sing background vocals and play acoustic.
Acoustic.
And Bobby Martin, I play bass.
Nice.
Connor Steven, and I play drums.
Awesome. Now, how long have you guys known each other? How long have y'all been a band? Were you friends first? Were you? I need the backstory.
Need the backstory.
Yeah.
Still not friends.
Still not friends. Yeah. We will never be friends. Connor and I have known each other since like high school, which is probably the longest one. We started playing in a band actually way back then. I guess like, golly, like 10 years ago.
Golly.
But then we met each other kind of through different music circles. Met Taylor. He was running a recording studio and Bobby was playing with another band, and we've actually been playing as a band now for 4 years. Yeah. 4 years, I guess, around that. Okay. So, with different members kind of coming in and out, but this core group's been together for 4 years. Yeah. We haven't killed each other yet, so.
Well, you know, it's a joke, and you laugh about it, but you do spend a lot of time together, right?
Yeah.
I actually have the section. I don't know if we'll do it today or not, but have you all seen the movie, like, Apollo 13?
Yep.
Tom Hanks is like, Houston, we have a problem, right?
Yes.
So I want to do this section called Nashville, we have a problem. Yeah. Because really, 90% of your life is not on stage.
Yeah.
Right? Like 10% of your life is on stage. And when you're there, like you're on fire. Like that's just what you do.
That's the easy part.
That's why you do it. But then how much goes on in between shows? So you better like each other, at least learn how to not kill each other, right?
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
That's awesome. Well, good deal. James Barker band and y'all meet, and then are y'all like, oh, I think we have the same sound, or we have the same, we write well together. I mean, you're writing all your music, is that right?
Yeah, we write together a little bit and kind of organize and arrange all the songs and that kind of thing together too. But when we came together, because we used to do the cover bar, like circuit thing, the cover song circuit, I guess, up in Canada and around, you know, Southern Canada and that kind of thing.
And that's a different perspective, I think. Yeah. We've had a couple of guests from Canada, Kelsey Kulik.
Oh, yeah.
But what, I can't even say I know what, like, the music culture is in Canada. Is it?
It's like, where we're from, because we're kind of from rural areas, do you know what I mean? Like, farming communities and stuff. So
one block of ice, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, exactly. We're ice farmers. But it's just there's a lot of country bars up there. Like, it's spread out. It's a lot more spread out than it is down here. You have to drive like 3 hours to get to the next bar. But we just kind of clicked personally, like personality wise, which is probably the most important part. And then we all had kind of similar music tastes, but also varying. So it's not like we're doing the same thing.
Yeah. Have y'all been down to Nashville a lot? Is this your first trip? I know you guys are playing Whiskey Jam tonight, which is I'm fired up about that. That's a big thing here on Monday nights.
Yeah, that's kind of the Monday night party. I've been here like 30 times or something. Started coming down when I was like 18.
Oh, cool.
Taylor.
I was in the same boat, yeah. 18, 19 times. Probably.
Yeah, this is my third time. So,
have you played, you guys, as far as like, and I know this. I don't know if a lot of people outside the music industry know this, but, you know, you have like lead singer, right, James Barker, and then you have instruments. And a lot of people just go, oh, well, all you do is play guitar. All you do is play drums or whatever, and that's most of the time not true. Like, all of you guys are writers, like, and all you guys are like legit artists. You know, a lot of bands, we had Tom Beaupre on here, he's the bass player for Florida Georgia Line. And so you go to a Florida Georgia Line concert and it's like, I mean, wow. But like, people would probably look at him and go, yeah, all he does is bass.
Yeah. Uh-uh.
Like, he's a phenomenal songwriter. He can play every instrument and he tunes pianos. Like, who knows how to tune a piano? You know, but that's really cool. So, you know, individually, you guys are all artists, right? And so give me a little background, like growing up, like, was it sports, then music? Has it always been music for you guys? And so that way we can kind of get to know like all of you as a band.
Yeah, I was always kind of music and farming, I guess. Got a little bit into sports and football and that kind of thing, but music was kind of the primary objective for me.
Be honest, was it because girls really liked it when you played the guitar and sing?
I mean, 100%.
Yeah, I was going to say, should I be honest here? I used to play the violin and then I switched over to guitar, and it's like, because nobody's, you know...
No one's taking a violin.
Nobody's picking up girls playing classical music on a violin.
Unless you're like, there's some bad fiddle players. Now, if you can rip it up, then, but that's a unique.
It's hard.
I get it.
It's hard. I'm not talented enough. My game isn't good enough.
Yeah. I would just say, for me, like, I had done the sports thing when I was young, and then I had played piano when I was really young, and then, like you just said, I think it was like grade 9 or grade 10. I was like, I'm not doing as well with the women as I thought I would be once I got to high school. So I picked up guitar class in grade 10, and that obviously.
And now, you know, I can't get them away from y'all. Why do you think I'm doing this? I can't play music, but if I hang around y'all, it's kind of like by association I can. Yeah. So thanks for that.
No, it was good. And then, yeah, just played sports, but, you know, realized that music, not realized, but music's always been the passion stuff. So
yeah.
Obviously got an opportunity with these guys and kept playing with them. So that was fun.
Awesome. And you played baseball.
Yeah, I played baseball. So I was like sports too, but I played guitar like six string, like lead guitar, and I played it like my whole life. And then like you get to high school, then I focused on sports, so I like quit. Yep. And then some guy was just like, hey man, like I need like a bass guitar player in a country band. This is in like college. And I was just like, man, I don't play bass guitar. He's just like, well, like I need one, like can you help me out? So I just rented a guitar for like a couple months and did shows. And then
okay, now you're just showing off.
Yeah, yeah. No, but then yeah, here I am now.
You know what, actually I'm very coordinated and talented, and you know, I got the looks, and so now I'm just down with the band. All right, perfect. Yeah, appreciate it.
I don't know how many bands were like, yeah, our bass player just decided to rent one day. Someone needed
before these guys, yeah.
And now they're, you know, in Nashville playing, and I'm like, that's crazy.
Yeah. Good for you. Next.
For myself, it's always been music. It was always the annual trip to arts camp, to band camp, and went to college for music, and it's always been that way, and I'm still to this day not a huge sports guy.
Yeah, Connor and I both are not sports really dudes, because we do music so much, it feels like, I don't know, that takes up so much time, I guess.
Yeah, it's a job, but it's also our hobby at the same time. As soon as I get home, that's what I want to do when I get home.
But
yeah.
You got to combine the two, though, when you were in Oklahoma, though.
Right.
Tell the story.
Well, when I was going to school in Oklahoma City, and I got the opportunity to audition for the Thunder as a halftime performer, so I wound up playing with them.
Wow.
So I got to, you know, dabble, dip a toe in sports.
Sport ball.
Yeah, but that was pretty
sport
cool.
Ball, sport yeah. Ball.
Absolutely, you're part of sports. And I'm going to be honest, when I grew up just playing sports, period. But you're talking about the band camps. Look, there's probably a lot of stories there that are a lot worse.
Oh,
I ain't
yes.
even.
Yeah.
This
I mean,
is a family.
The movie's
this is
pretty accurate.
Okay, good. Yeah, because this is a family friendly show. We can't tell details.
Is it?
Is it? Well, we're trying. How's that? Well, that's awesome. So you guys, you know, playing Whiskey Jam tonight. You got what are we looking forward to? You guys are releasing or have released a couple of songs. They're killing it.
Yep.
In Canada, and tell us what's going on.
Yeah, we're just kind of finishing up our EP, six-song EP, so we're going to be releasing that to the world in the new year. And then we've got a couple little tours up in Canada. Not little, I guess, bigger Canada-wide tours with some bigger Canadian acts, Dean Brody and Tim Hicks, which are they're pretty big in Canada. So we're going to be going across the great country of Canada, and then hopefully next summer and going into next fall, make it down here and get on some tours down here.
Saw where Dirks jumped up. Was cool.
Yeah, we got to. That was really cool. We got to just a tiny little bar in Toronto, not too far from where we were, and we got to do be kind of his backing band and play a bunch of songs with him, and then he ended up singing our single at a big music festival, Boots and Hearts, up there. He sang our song on stage during Summer on a Beach. He did a little medley, so that was pretty cool.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I got chills just because you think, God, how did that just happen?
Yeah.
And even as a friend, watching a lot of friends, you know, with the same dream, I'll never forget, and obviously I'm not an artist, but watching the face of the writer and the artist the first time they heard a stadium sing every word back.
Yeah.
That was the cool part. You know, it's like, Christ. This many people
know this song,
where the artist just kind of stops singing and the whole stadium is like, like that's a cool feeling.
I think the thing with Dirks too, because we had played it the Thursday right before Boots and Hearts, right? Because it's a 40 festival, so it was Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then people go home the Monday. So we got fortunate with the Dirks Bentley thing that was on the Thursday, like right before Boots and Hearts. So we played that was absolutely amazing. And then on the Friday, we were just watching Dirks, obviously, you know, reveling in the moment, and I remember walking up to James and just being, you know, putting a hand on the back and just being like, hey man, like, of all the 50,000 people here, you know, how many people can say that they were on stage with Dirks last night? Like, good job. And within like 10 minutes Dirks started singing
our tune,
and we all collectively looked at each other and we're like, that's our song.
Yeah.
Well, that's what my thing. My initial thought was, man, like I didn't realize we were on top of his lyrics that much. And this, like, I was like, that sounds like something from Launch Your Lazy. And I was like, wait a minute, that is Launch Your Lazy.
You had to like slap me. I was like at the concert, just like, oh, like I love this. He's like, no, man, like that's our song. I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, this is my song. Yeah, I love this tune. No.
I had no idea until you like slapped me. Like.
Oh, that's awesome, man! What a cool story. A lot, big families all at home, like
yeah,
brothers, sisters, moms, dads, married, single, like
none of us married.
None of us married yet.
We're just young gaffers still. No kids that we know of.
So
no.
All single, plays guitar, sing, travel. God, I hate y'all. I really don't like any of y'all right now.
That's fine.
I'm just kidding. No, very cool. So we got a lot of, you know, I can't wait to hear you guys sing for us real quick. This is the first time for me, by the way. I got four dudes sitting across from me, and y'all are a lot bigger than I am and kind of intimidating. But but at the same time, I'm about to hear you guys sing it up, and I'm excited. But I do have a couple of questions that I ask all my guests. And so the first time I've had four guests, so I mean, do the math. That's like 16 answers. Oh, so I we'll see how this works out. I'm almost thinking that I'll have a few of you answer the question for someone else.
Oh, I like
this
that.
This is almost right. Like
I like that.
How, the last one will be good.
How well do you really know each other? And also, it's usually where you kind of look at each other and go, if you tell them that, I will kill you. Kind of look type thing. So we'll see. So I will let you guys decide on who you think should probably answer the first question. All right. And it's really... there is no right or wrong, right? But it's how long, well, I guess I should probably ask this first. Collectively, you say, well, some high school, some college, you guys aren't that old. So,
yeah.
But you've been pursuing music for a while now and, you know, probably have learned some things that you didn't know, right? Or really weren't even expecting. Not when it just comes to music, but just really the lifestyle, right?
Yeah.
The perception, what else is out there. Like, it's kind of eye-opening. You can prepare for it all you want, but you really just can't until you're there. Really know, right? So if, you know, you could go back in time, you know, and say, hey, I'd have coffee with myself. And right when I started that, you know, it went through my mind, like, you know, I'm going to do this music thing. Not just as a hobby. Like, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
If you could have coffee with yourself, like, what do you think you would tell yourself knowing what you know now?
Anyone got a no?
It's for me, it's really simple.
Yeah.
It's practice as much as you can, but it's also your attitude towards
the other people
in the industry. It's how you present yourself.
Be positive
100%
all the time. That would be like my thing is that like when you're first starting it takes you like a few years to get the whole like whatever it is, be positive and get along with everybody else. But that is actually like the most important thing is that if you like just support everybody else and like aren't like ragging on everybody else, you'll enjoy it so much more. Because if you spend your whole time being like jealous and angry at all the other artists, because you can't be the only person on the radio, do you know what I mean? Or the only person playing shows. So if you're like, why'd they get this? We didn't get this. Like, well, you can't play everything.
Right.
And you can't do every show and you just beat yourself down doing that. So I would say just be positive and happy for other people.
Yeah, that's a great perspective. I think maybe why that's a piece of advice is it's a really competitive industry though. Like, let's be honest.
Yeah.
If it really had a perfect equation to success and it really was just about talent, maybe it wouldn't be, you know, as competitive, but there's a lot of talent in Nashville, right? That doesn't always make it. So you could see why it's really easy to go, well, why them and not me?
Yeah.
But that's a great piece. Cause I mean, at the end of the day, this is a journey, not just an overnight thing. So enjoy it, right?
Exactly.
You might as well like support each other. And I think that's awesome. That's a great piece of advice. What about the best advice someone else has ever given you? Not necessarily what you would tell yourself knowing you know now, but the best piece of advice someone's ever given you that you just kind of live by. It doesn't even have to be about music, but
I guess, Connor's dad, he always had like this thing. He'd always come up to me and just be like, man, it doesn't matter if you're playing in front of 10 people, 100 or one, like it's always about, Each person there is like one person. So whether one fan walks away, leaves your show a fan, like that's what's important. So you put on the same,
you put on the
same show every night,
regardless of who's there.
Yeah, there we go.
I got it out of me.
Right?
That's awesome. I get that advice a lot from a really good friend of mine. His name is Super Sick Chewy Kevin McCarty over here.
Hey guys.
Hey, what's up?
Hey man.
if he's told me once, he's told me 100 times, dude, it takes one person.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Like at the end of the day. And I think it's hard, right, to go, no, I need a stadium, right? Yeah. But it might take one person to even get to the stadium. So that's awesome. Yeah. I mean, you play the same for everybody regardless. So exactly.
And I think, too, I can't remember if it was you, Shannon, or Frazier, whatever, way back when. But there was, I think it was going to the Dirks thing as well. They had said just live in the moment, like appreciate, because some of this moves so quick.
Right.
Like, you know, yeah, like the shows are one thing and the interviews and stuff are one thing, but it's the, you know, the big performance, all the stuff. You don't realize it as it's happening because you're there and you're focused. But as soon as it's over, you're kind of going, well, man, if I could like rewind time and go back, right, I would. And you just, everything, whether it's an interview or, you know, a meet and greet with someone, or like they're all moments that you have to be there for.
Things move so fast. It's almost hard to like remember.
Yeah.
What even happened in the moment? You remember something like the Dirk thing. It's like, I remember that happening, but I can't tell you like what happened when we were on stage and stuff. It just moves so fast, right? But it's like, I know that was a wicked part of my life. It's like, maybe next time pay more attention. Like, you just got to be there. It's so hard to be in the moment.
Well, you know, I don't want to sound like y'all's. I'm just older than y'all. So I'm going to give y'all the same advice it was given to me. Like, you're going to blink and 10 years will go by. It just will. And, you know, it's so simple, but like, I'm sitting there. I can't believe, I'm not even saying my age, but I just can't believe that I am where I am, because knowing yesterday I just moved to Nashville and it's been 15 years now.
I'm yeah.
Like, yeah. But yeah, it's enjoy the journey. I've always said that, because it, especially I think in an industry like this is a great piece of advice, but it's always like, well, if I just get this, right? Mm-hmm. And okay, well, if I just get this,
yeah.
Well, if we just get one number one hit. But then when you get it, you're like, but no, it's got to be, it's never going to, you know. So really the gift is the journey. That's awesome. So. All right, here's my favorite one. Kevin, you ready for this?
Let's do it.
All right, I may allow like a couple answers. So let's do.
What do you mean may allow? Let them answer if they want to answer.
Hey, first of all, my show, shut up. No, I'm just kidding. So finish this statement, but finish this statement about another band member, okay?
Oh, no.
All right.
Who am I going
to find? Why is everyone looking at me? It's like, I got all the ammunition, I guess.
Wait a minute. If three of you answer for like one person, that'd be really cool. So, I don't know what that means. But if you really knew me, Donald, or if you really knew my buddy, my friend, my bandmate, Connor over here, you would know this.
Mm-hmm. Everybody's, you know, like,
what? I'm going to say, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make him a new rule because I can. All three... Tell me something if I really knew James Barker.
Okay, I got the first one.
Okay, what would I know?
If you really knew James Barker, you would know that every morning he starts his day off with a juice that consists of disgusting ginger and carrots. And what else, James?
Beets,
kale.
Yeah.
You're a nasty human being.
Oh.
Makes me up good, bright and early.
I like it. If you're going to be on the road for many, many years, I would say it is disgusting. Good choice, though.
Yes.
Great choice.
For all the days that we wake up and don't eat anything.
Yeah.
James, do you try to push in on all of them? Like, no, guys, for real, it's better this time.
I've tried the juice.
He does to me. That's why I bring it up.
I promise there's less this in it.
I've been to Connor. I'm like, it's actually really good. I put in like an apple this time to try it.
It's the ginger, man. I can't drink ginger. Yeah. That's disgusting.
And he's always leaving his shakers in my car.
Yeah,
they get stinky. They get real stinky.
All right, James, do you want to rebut? You want to like, well, if you really knew.
Well, if we're going. Talk about my juice? Okay.
Yeah, you want to talk about my juicing habits?
We can bring up a lot of issues here to maybe go ahead and get it out on the table.
I see a rabbit hole forming.
This is another form of marriage counseling.
Yeah, I was
going to
say,
I forgot to tell you.
I'm trying to think of ones that are appropriate for me to say.
I went with juice.
Yeah, juice is always appropriate. Geez, I don't know.
We can edit, too.
By the way, we're not live.
Yeah, we can edit. No, we're kind of.
Yeah. Do you guys have any? What's something for Connor? I feel like I got to get him back for the juice thing.
Brand sponge of NASCAR?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
that's true.
No, you not know the time.
That's all right. Bring that, it on. Because Connor, next, buddy.
If you were sick, this is where it gets good.
If you really knew Connor, you would know that he has, like, tattoos and he looks like a NASCAR, is what Bobby called him.
Honestly,
because he's just got, like, all these little random, like, brands and thing all over him. That just, like, you look at him, you're like, oh, does that, why is that there? Like, what's going on? That's one.
All right, now you have to explain. Because what they're saying, what I'm hearing them say, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's just like random tattoos with no real strategy or pattern. Is like it like scams. You wake up and go, hey, let's throw a dart. This is a first. Now we're getting guests taking shirts off. All right, perfect. So yeah, let's hear some stories here. Yeah.
Okay, all right. Let me start with this top one here. So we were in Nashville, and we were a little drunk the next day. We were still drunk from the night before. We went in for tattoos. James got a super sick guitar on his forearm.
Stupid black guitar on my arm. Super sick.
Super sick.
And so I love it.
I was looking in the book, and I saw this super sick eagle, and I was like, that's America. And I picked it, and I got it tattooed. And 2 years later, we were sitting at the bar, and above my head was a what was
Sailor Jerry's?
Sailor Jerry's banner. And it turns out that's the Sailor Jerry's
Sailor
logo.
Jerry's rum. And it turns out it's just the logo from Sailor Jerry.
And it was in their book.
Nice.
Tricked. And the glasses was the first single. And we, I mean, I guess Bobby and I thought it would be a funny joke to have a pair of glasses and go, sheets on.
And it so sounded so good at the time. It sounded so good at the time.
It's like the original dab.
That's exactly Shades what it was. On. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then when we signed with Universal, I thought, well, I already look like an idiot, so let's do it up.
Oh my gosh.
We all have. We had like a thing for like the. I guess I've only. This is my third time, but the two times we always would go get tattoos as a band.
The worst idea.
And we always just like. Some of the like people are like, what does that mean? It's like it's an anchor and a rose. Like there's no meaning to
there's
it.
There's not really a story to
there's
it.
Not,
yeah.
Yeah, it's just
other than the story is that hey, we made kind of a pact that when we go to Nashville,
we're getting
that
tattoos,
is that's yeah. kind of the story. And maybe even if they're quote unquote not what you, but that's the memory. You'll never
exactly.
forget that,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, it's there now.
So I guess my thought of seeing your stamp on your hand where it says Honky Tonkin'.
Oh no.
Isn't surprising where I was like, oh, you got that tattoo.
Yeah.
Okay. That's not just the stamp
the next
from Honky Tonk. I was like, well, it actually fits now what we're talking about.
You like, should just go in today to the tattoo place and be like, hey, can you just ink right over that? Just get the tattoo there for.
We'll never
forever.
Have to wait in line again.
Well, I was about to say, we may be onto something. Let's find like the stamp that most bars use, and you have a 60% chance you're getting in free.
Oh, that's
free.
Brilliant.
Because you have a tattoo.
Just don't get a date. What's that?
What?
Yeah,
a date. Yeah.
Don't use the date, that's all.
Timestamps.
Well, now the black guitar.
In case you forget that you play guitar,
dude, he came at you.
But
I still
why.
Think that's the
I
worst
just went
one.
In, I didn't have any tattoos, and I was like, you know,
that was your first one.
That's my. That's a commitment right there. I went in and I was like, they're like, we're all gonna get tattoos. You should get one. And I was like, you know what? I always wanted like a guitar somewhere on me. And so the guy's like, okay, I can put a guitar on like your arm or something. I was like, yeah, like, and I was thinking maybe like. To be a little bit of detail, like some frets or something. It's like, no, it's just a big
black guitar
Telecaster on my arm.
Well, actually, technically, and I don't know much about tattoos, but that's a great canvas. Maybe we can go over it and add stuff.
I'm thinking
each.
We're going to go around it a little bit and then maybe over top of it. It was pretty hard to cover up just straight black. So
that's all. I have zero tattoos. It's not because I'm against them. I can't, it's hard for me to decide on a shirt that I may wear three times. It's really my, like, I wear mainly black. This is what I wear. Because I really can't decide. Yeah. So I'm kind of envious that y'all can at least pull the trigger. That's cool.
Well, it's sometimes not a good thing. It's really easy when you're drunk for the first one, and then it's too late to go back. So
that's fun. Well, now, we could do this probably for a long time. Yeah. I try to keep episodes to around, you know, at least 20, 30 minutes. But at least that may open some conversations later, because that could keep going, I think, because all it does is it triggers, right? And so I don't want to get anybody in trouble, but that was a lot of fun. Thanks for sharing. All right, guys, well, we got to do a little technical switch up here, but set me up. I'd love to hear one song. I'm not going to tell you what to play. But just one of your favorite songs. It might be one that you have already released, or maybe one of your favorite that's coming out on the EP. But if you could maybe decide which one that's going to be, and just kind of tell us about the song, how it was written, when it was written, kind of the story behind it. And
we had talked to you. Which one do you think?
Mama's Cooking.
Mama's Cooking would be a cool one. I don't know if it's too like dark. Do you want it to be something like fun?
It's not dark.
Or do you want
to?
What do you guys think? You think so? Do you think it makes sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not. It's not an upbeat tune, but it's one of those songs where, like, I wrote it actually in town here with a dude from Mississippi, Michael Hardy. I almost called him Michael Eckert, who's another dude we know. Michael Hardy. And we, like, hit again, gotten pitched around a little bit, and then kind of, like, just nothing happened with it.
Yeah.
And everybody heard it was like, man, we love that song so much. And then it was the same thing. It's like you play it all over the place, and people fall in love with it. And then it's like, oh, man, maybe someone will cut it or whatever, and then it just kind of expired. I don't know.
I would say don't lose hope in those. I think a lot of number one hits were written 10, 12, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Right? And that was the kind of the thing that we were talking about when I first did this. I was like, we even like Chicken Fry and like all that stuff. The stories I heard was written at a bar 12, 14 years before it was ever cut, and then it goes number one. So, but that's always been kind of my... my frustration with I'm not music, but I'm here and I love it. And I was like, gosh, some of the best music I hear is sometimes on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night, you know, not on the radio or something, you know, and it's like, what? You know, it's definitely a phenomenal song. What I call a hit song, Collecting Dust. So you wrote it. And do you want to tell us a little bit about Mama's Cooking? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, it's called Mama's Cooking. And it's just kind of one of those songs. I went in to write it with Michael, and He'd been living here full time.
I mean, were you like hungry? You walked in, you're like, man, I'm starving.
I was like, man, I need a sandwich.
But you know what'd be really good? Mom's cooking. And then that's I don't know.
he was like, man, I really like. He's like, I miss home, and I, you know, it's great being in Nashville. Obviously, he was like, man, I miss like my family's from Georgia. No, he's from Mississippi. Sorry, and he's like, I miss my mom's cooking, like being home for dinner, and he's like. We should write that. Just like the whole idea, not about the food, but about, you know, kind of the whole vibe about eating dinner with your family growing up, that kind of thing.
Well, I think a lot of people are going to be able to relate to that song, so I can't wait to hear it. And we will disconnect real quick, get you guys set up, and then we will hear Mama's Cooking by James Barker Band. Thanks, guys. Thanks for coming in, man. Can't wait to hear y'all the night at Whiskey Jam.
Thanks for having us.
James Barker Band playing Mama's Cooking.
Here you go.
Yeah. Any given night, you can set your clock. Daddy's home from work, 5:30 on the dot. Brother's in his room, and Sarah's on the phone, saying God knows what, and Mama's cooking. Like we had assigned seats, sitting down to say grace. Between honey, pass the peas, and honey, how's your grace? Learn a lot about life and how to finish what you put on your plate over Mama's cooking. Every night our lives stood still. Same conversation, a different meal. At the time, all I thought we were making was dirty dishes. If there's one thing I know, it ain't about what was on that stove. It was the moments we had that I want just so bad to revisit. And these days, round 6 o'clock, you can find me looking for Mama's cooking. I've been around the world and I broke bread with enough to know something ain't as good when it ain't grown on the same ground as you grew up. And there's a hurt in my heart, but a head on my shoulders, and it's all because of Mama's cooking. Every night our lives stood still. Same conversation, a different meal. At the time, all I thought we were making was dirty dishes. If there's one thing I know,
It ain't about what was on that stove. It was the moments we had that I want just so bad to revisit. And these days, round 6 o'clock, you can find me looking for mama's cooking. And I thank God for those days, honey-baked ham and heated debates, the lessons I learned along the way in that kitchen. But if there's one thing I know, it ain't about what was on that stove. It was the moments we had that I want just so bad to revisit. And I'm a product of all that stuff I took in, eating mama's cooking, eating mama's cooking.
Yeah. Well, I can see why it's everybody's favorite. Come on, Will. If that don't give you chills, everybody needs to check their pulse. You're not alive. I dig it. That is so good, man. Appreciate y'all doing that. Hey, how can people find you, follow you, and stalk you, and come see you? Like, tell us.
At James Barker Band on everything.
Okay.
Like Facebook / James Barker Band, Instagram @ James Barker Band, Twitter
yeah
@ James Barker Band, Snapchat, MySpace.
Really? Does that still exist?
Is it still exist?
I have no idea, but I'm sure it does. Well, hey, I'll tell you what, gosh, I kind of want to just, you know, lay the stake down now that, hey, when you guys are like superstars, which I really feel like you're going to be, you have to at least come back. Don't forget about me.
100%.
Sound good?
We will for sure.
We got it on recording, Chewy? Super
sick? Everything's on recording, unfortunately.
Look forward to the night at Whiskey Jam and really just watching you guys. God, your journey is going to be awesome. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
See you, man.
This has been Hits Collecting Dust. Please support this podcast and the artists featured by going to iTunes, subscribing, and leaving us a review.